colleges and universities across Georgia have wrapped up the semester. But one Morehouse College man has more work to do. What started out as an extra credit biology assignment for student Julian Turner has become a world of opportunity. Last year, the rising junior went viral with a music video of a song he wrote, inspired by Lil Uzi Vert's hit single, XO Tour Life.
I don't really care if you cry. I don't really shouldn't have lied. Should have saw the way she looked me in my eyes.
Turner's remix is called XY Cell Life. It breaks down differences between mitosis and meiosis.
The DNA starts to unwind. The RNA reads the other side. Meiosis is the key to making life. Mitosis.
This YouTube video has been viewed more than a million times and praised by artists like Common and Chance the Rapper. Well, now Julian and his brother Justin have been commissioned to create an educational music video for Sesame Street to air in the fall. Julian Turner joins me now in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So this is an experience that every college student has, where you get an assignment and then you have to make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
So take us through the process. What happened with you?
So basically, I was in my bedroom after a football game, and I forgot about the project. And when I was listening to the song, All My Cells Are Dead just kept playing in my head, and I was like, that's a part of an extra credit assignment I could be doing right now. And so, you know, I checked my notes to see if it was accurate, and then I started just putting together lyrics. And, you know, I do that with my friends all the time, and I didn't think it was going to be much of a big deal. I just had my friend come over, record the video. I put it together in my room, and then I just posted it. And from then, it just took off. It was just, it's crazy.
Yeah, we see you in your dorm room.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene of you, I think, out on campus. And
yeah, I was in the library.
In the library, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah. Now, you and your friends, you probably enjoy rap music, maybe a little trap music.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that music, not all of it, but a lot of it does have some themes in it that some find objectionable, derogatory toward women, some of those themes,
mm-hmm.
and maybe this talk about drug life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, do you think that maybe your rap video became such an internet sensation because there's an appetite out there for smarter rap?
Yeah, I think I think it blew up because there's a hole in rap, because there's a lack of educational content or a lack of content that could relate to broader audiences in a sense, you know. So, you know, I think a lot of my feedback has been from the audiences of in the science community, audiences of parents in children. And you see in rapping on the radio, a lot of that, you know, a lot of the music doesn't appeal to that type of audience. So I think that's what made up my audience and what kind of helped it blow up. And then also it helped, you know, that it was towards the end of the semester. And, you know, this topic that's covered in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and colleges. So I think that it was really universal in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sesame Street, the producers there, they certainly had an appetite for what you did because they saw it and they reached out to you. Can you tell us a little bit about what your project will be?
Yeah, so it's a live action short on the number 6. So whatever episode they decide to include it in, they'll be trying to teach the number 6, and they'll play our video along with music, whatever we creatively decide to do to help illustrate the number 6.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
So back in the 1970s, long before you were born, there was this character, and his name was Roosevelt Franklin. And he was a purple brother. He had spiky, natural
mm-hmm.
hair. And he was probably the street's original rapper, Sesame Street's original rapper. And I want to play a little bit of him. He's teaching his classmates how to rhyme.
Okay.
Searched in the mountains, he searched in the hills, he searched in the oven and the windowsill. He looked in the country, he looked in the town, where he finally found Same Sam Brown.
I can rhyme anything, baby.
Same Sam Brown was a rhyme.
All right, so that is Roosevelt Franklin. He always kind of talked to a beat.
Yeah.
And since 1969, Sesame Street has done this. They have used popular culture to really help kids learn,
mm-hmm.
and they've used these relatable characters. So I'm wondering, is that what you and your brother are planning for your project?
Yeah, in a sense, we also want to bridge the gap between a lot of different styles as well. So I think we're going to try to to do a mix of hip-hop and try to bring in some other cultures as well. Not limit ourselves in terms of what we're doing, but all of our projects we've attempted to educate through entertaining, whether it was rhyming or with the beat. So I think that's what we're going to try to continue to do.
That's Morehouse College student Julian Turner. His educational music video should be released this fall on Sesame Street, which we now visit with Fran Brill of Savannah. She's the first female puppeteer that Jim Henson hired for the program. You may recognize this lovable character.
My name is Zoe, and I'm proud, I'm proud, I'm proud. And what I'm proud about, I'm gonna tell you right out loud. I can spell my name.
Zoe was just one of the many characters that Fran Brill played on Sesame Street. GPB special correspondent Celeste Headley talked with her about her long career on one of the most recognizable streets in America.
I keep imagining that first day walking onto the set, and it's all guys. Well, at least underneath the puppets.
Yeah, but you know what? I just didn't think about it. It really didn't hit me. I was lucky enough that they were very kind to me because they all were very good puppeteers, the core group, and I had never played with a puppet in my life before I got hired. This would never happen today. But I had all the other tools that Jim was looking for in a female puppeteer, and then I learned how to manipulate very quickly, you know, with everybody's help. But they were just super to me, and it was just the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I guess to be the only female amongst this incredible group of hysterically funny, wonderful men.
Well, many people know you for Zoe, but let's hear from another character that you voice, which is Cammy, and that was the first HIV-positive Muppet.
The other children at school don't want to play with me because I'm HIV positive. They say they don't want to touch me because they think I will make them sick.
Oh, but Cammy, we all know you can't get HIV just by touching someone or by being friends with them.
What do you make of Sesame Street's role in these more difficult conversations?
Well, this clip you played was from Takalani Sesame, which is the African version of Sesame Street. You know, there's like 175 productions of Sesame Street all over the world, and they all cater to a specific social or environmental or educational problem in that world.
Why don't we play another clip? Because it's basically the same topic, which is about the responsibility of handling difficult subjects. And this clip relates to that, and it's from 2009. Sesame Street did a primetime special because of the Great Recession. It was called Families Stand Together, Feeling Secure in Tough Times. And in this particular clip, we're actually hearing you playing the role of Elmo's mom.
Why isn't Mommy at work today?
Well, darling, there's something your daddy and I want to talk to you about.
Come on and sit over here, son.
Okay.
Sit down here.
Okay, Daddy.
Right. Now, you see, yesterday I lost my job, and I'm not going to be working, at least for a little while.
Is it because Elmo has too many toys?
Oh, no, baby. None of this is your fault.
It's nobody's fault. This is just something that happens in families sometimes.
So how carefully do you have to tread in with subjects like this when it may be for kids the first time someone's talking directly to them about a subject like AIDS or a family member?
Yeah, that's a great question. All I can tell you is that there is a tremendous amount of research that goes into every script. You get a lot of very smart people together and talented writers, and the script is read over and over and over again before we performers, you know, get to shoot it. We also, Elmo's mom and Elmo's dad and Elmo did another show where they were talking about the military and that, you know, how do children deal with a parent who's, you know, doing service in a country far, far away. We never said what country it was, but Elmo's mom and Elmo were Skyping Elmo's dad.
Oh, well, Elmo sure has, Daddy.
Oh, good. Well, so have I. And I think about you every time I do. But you know what? Pretty soon, we'll be able to say goodnight to the moon together again. I'm coming home real soon.
Really? Oh!
Go? Where are you going, son?
No, Emma wants to get everything ready when Daddy gets home. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
We'll help.
You know, it's wonderful. I think it's what makes me the proudest of being a part of this show is that I feel like, well, I did something with my life. It's great that people are affected by this and children grow up feeling safer, perhaps, because subjects that are difficult to talk about are dealt with. Adoption, blended families. I mean, they're dealing with all sorts of heavy-duty stuff.
Do children, I mean, I have to expect that children often assume you're basically Zoe, right? When they hear you talking?
No, I mean, they don't know anything. I think it's so funny when an adult woman, you know, pulls over her three-year-old child and she says, "Oh, honey, look, this is the lady that does Zoe." And they look at me, and I'm not 3 years old anymore. I haven't been three for a long time. But they look at me, and it's like, what? You know, and then she says, "Oh, do the voice. So when I do the voice, and I talk like that, they go, "Oh, my gosh, it's Zoe!" You know, so that's, I'm sorry, the mics probably just
that
blew out
awesome.
Over there.
No, that's awesome.
I could just pick up a puppet and do whatever crazy voice or person came to mind. I have this Mrs. Crustworthy, who I really, really like to do, who sort of sounds like she's drunk, but actually it's because her dentures are slipping. So I'll do Mrs. Crustworthy around the house sometimes. I mean, it's sad. It's sad. I know it's sad.
It is not. It is objectively not.
No, this has been a joy. That my life has been fabulous, and just to have been part of this world, I consider I'm one lucky chick.
That's Fran Brill of Savannah, the first female puppeteer Jim Henson hired for Sesame Street. She spoke with my colleague Celeste Headley.